The concept of a deal with the devil and the involvement of darker powers in the lives of musicians has been around for centuries. But before Paganini and Robert Johnson, one could argue that Giuseppe Tartini's magnum opus, Sonata in G Minor, or more well known as the Devil Trill Sonata, was the original basis for the superstition surrounding many legendary musicians. In today's podcast, we will explore the origins of the famous piece immortalized in its legend. Tartini was born April 8, 1692 in Pirano, Istria in the Venetian Republic. He was the fourth son of his father Giovanni Antonio Tartini, who was a prominent trader, and his mother, a noblewoman named Caterina Sangrando. Because he was the fourth son, his father intended that he become a monk, which was not an uncommon practice at the time. However, he resisted clericism and went to the University of Padua to study law in 1709, where he began to have an interest in music, taking violin lessons from Giulio de Terni, who would eventually take lessons from him later in life. A year later in 1710, he fell in love with and secretly married Elisabetta Premasor, who was the niece of the Bishop of Padua when he was only 18 years old. This would force him to run away when the marriage was discovered 3 years later in 1713. He found refuge in Assisi, where a friar, who had some sort of family connection to him, allowed him to stay in the monastery. There, he trained with Father Boemo, who is thought to have been a prominent Czech musician, Bohuslav Chernohorsky, and played in the orchestra with him there. He improved extensively and remained hidden for about 2 more years before being recognized by some students from university. However, through demonstration of his newfound musical prowess and convincing the bishop of his commitment, they eventually reconciled. After this, he moved to Venice with his wife around 1716, where he first heard renowned musician and the head of Venetian Academy of Music, Francesco Veracini. The expressiveness and flair of Veracini's bowing had a profound impact on him that would cause him to go into isolation in Ancona for many years, honing his skills. He later built a reputation in the following years, leading to his appointment as the director of the orchestra in the Basilica of St. Anthony in 1721. He would remain in that position for 49 years. This brings us to his most famous creation, the Devil's Trill Sonata. According to an interview of Tartini's, published by French astronomer Jerome Lalande in 1769, the devil once visits Tartini in his dream. He says that he makes a pact with him, and that Satan himself becomes his servant. In his own words, according to the interview, he states, "One night, in the year 1713, I dreamed I had made a pact with the devil for my soul. Everything went as I wished. My new servant anticipated my every desire. Among other things, I gave him my violin to see if he could play. How great was my astonishment on hearing a sonata so wonderful and so beautiful, played with such great art and intelligence as I had never even conceived in my boldest flights of fantasy. I felt enraptured, transported, enchanted. My breath failed me, and I awoke. I immediately grasped my violin in order to retain in part, at least, the impression of my dream. In vain. The music which I at this time has composed is indeed the best that I ever wrote, and I still call it the Devil's Trill. But the difference between it and that which so moved me is so great that I would have destroyed my instrument and have said farewell to music forever, if it had been possible for me to live without the enjoyment it affords me." The interview was likely conducted the year Tartini retired, in 1765, which is probably because he felt as if the story behind the piece would lead to the ruination of his career and reputation, but he did not wish for its story to be forgotten. It is fortunate, for only a year after the publication of the interview, Tartini died in Padua on February 26, 1770. Giuseppe Tartini's dream raises interesting questions about him and makes us wonder just how much we don't know about who he was. When I hear this story and the story of the life he had led, I often ponder if his vision was brought upon by a combination of his artistic prowess and the personal demons that haunted him, manifesting in his psyche. It makes me think about how little we know about dreams, and also causes me to wonder about if artists and artists like him, such as Robert Johnson, were using music to express the darkness that plagued them. I suppose it is solely left up to us to decide what we think.